Je suis avec Anoop Singh à Locarno sur la terrasse du Belvédère. Il est présent au festival de Locarno où son film sur la Piazza Grande a été présenté, The Song of Scorpion. Did you get the idea of this film, talking about, in a very poetic, oniric way, about the story of a woman?
It came to me in a dream. So when you say oniric, I'm really taken aback. When I was shooting my last film, Le Secret de Canvar, I had been reading in the newspapers about some of these really horrendous and very brutal attacks on women in India. And these were ruthless, horrible attacks. And I think what it did to many of us who read about them, that it poisoned us, you know. We felt, how can this kind of horror be committed by one human being on another? I was, however, shooting the film at that point, and I must have repressed all my outrage. And about a year later, when the film was almost done, I must have relaxed, exhausted, but taken a moment of relaxation. And that very night, I had a dream, or if you like, a nightmare. Really. And in the nightmare, strangely, I actually saw the whole film from beginning to end. It's happened to me that I often have dreams and I see bits and pieces. But here was the first time when I saw really the beginning to the end of the film. And I woke up at around 4 a.m. I went to my room, office, and started writing. And almost in a day, I had written the script. So it was, I think, this repressed outrage at what was happening in India, all the rapes that were happening there, and then this moment that allowed all that outrage of mine to find itself expressed in a dream.
Your protagonist, Nooran, is a healer. She can cure by singing kind of mantras. Are you linked to this tradition?
Well, I have a great regard for the Sufi tradition, you know. I think it is a very syncretic tradition that celebrates synthesis between cultures, religions, ways of thinking, with music, with poetry, you know. It is a practice. It's not even a religion, really, in many ways. It is a practice that encourages a healing. That is its main purpose, to find a way to bring healing into the world. And they believe that healing can be done through words, which might be prophetic, philosophic, or poetic. They also believe that healing could come into the world through music, for example. All right. So it made sense to me, given the kind of dream that I had, that I wanted to find if there might be a way to speak to all this violence around us that we live in today in this world. And I thought, really, it is the breath that we take, you know. Almost with every breath that we take in, we are taking in some poison, whether it's the poison of pollution or this violence that we are surrounded with. Now the critical question is that when we breathe out, what is it that we can do? We can, of course, choose, almost as a kind of revenge, to breathe out the same poison that we have breathed in. But we can also choose to breathe out a song, you know, to bring something into the world that lifts it, enchants it, brings relief and healing to it, rather than add to the poison with our own. And it is with this kind of feeling, if you like,
and philosophy
that I wrote the script and then finally made the film.
Since you are talking about syncretism, your syncretism is part of your identity. You were born in Tanzania, Dar es Salaam, brought up in India. Now you're living in Geneva. So you're kind of a representation of syncretism.
I believe so, and I want to celebrate that, because what it has done is that it has given me a sense of travel. And I've realized in this travel of mine, in these journeys, that there is not a single identity which at the border does not begin to transform. It is only when you're far away from borders, you know, where you feel that you're safe and you have a home, that you actually define yourself in a single identity. But as soon as you leave your home, you find that there is so much in this world that is possible, you know, that you yourself are not complete, that you yourself are a possibility, you know, and that is what I think journeys teach you, that if you're a possibility, then of course you can take from everywhere in the world. There's nothing that you need to deny. Why should you? You know, you are in this world, why should you deny the world? You celebrate it, and you celebrate it by celebrating everything.
So your message is very strong and very important nowadays, since we see everywhere some extreme right movement.
I hope that it will not be taken as a message. You know, I hope it will be taken as wanting to bring, through my films, an enchantment. You know, that I want to enchant you. I want to tell you that, look, this world is beautiful and we can make it even more so. Why are we bombing it? Why are we
destroying it?
You know, there's this enchantment. Let's bring more enchantment into the world rather than destruction.
You're talking about enchantment. What is really enchanting in your movie is the music, and you talk about it?
The music, yes. Given the fact where the film is placed, it is on the borders between India and Pakistan.
There's this
immense desert. And because it is the border space between India and Pakistan, from time immemorial, there have been many journeys through it. Many, many caravans have crossed it. And these caravans and these numerous crossings of all kinds of communities from China, from Russia, from Africa, from
Middle East,
you know, have left their traces in the communities that reside there. So what has happened is that if you enter any one of these communities, you will find, even in their spoken language, a little Chinese, a little Russian, a little Farsi, a little Hindi, a little Punjabi,
Urdu.
You know, you'll find all these languages coming together to make one. All right. And the same goes for the music. And that is what drew me to this particular community, that I wanted to find a music which was like the character in the film, who always wanted to find the song that would heal and allow her to become a better person, you know, a person who can bring healing. And in the same way, the music is much more than simply a music that you recognize.
It's protagonist as well.
It is the protagonist of the film. You know. It is a music that brings together almost like tatters of cloth that old women in villages gather together and slowly make into a shawl. And then this shawl, when you open it, becomes one of the most beautiful things. Otherwise, it was just tatters, rags. You know. It is the same with this music. Suddenly you hear, it might be Mongolia in the music. It might be Africa. You know, it might be India. It might be Iran. You know.
Or even Arabic.
It opens you, you know, to different worlds, different feelings. So it is never telling you one thing. It is always opening you. It is never closing you. So the music then for the film was very, very important, because this was the theme of the film, to open, you know, and not to limit anything.
Talking about the writing of the script, have you already on mind Irfan Khan and Kashif Tehfarani as main protagonist?
I think I'm doing a film again with Irfan, but very just very different and just with him. And I'm also planning a film with Gulshifte, just very different and just with her.
And you will ask her to learn the eighth language?
I am actually asking her now to do a film in French.
Easy for her
this time. And I promise you that next time we meet, I'll be speaking French.
Great. Mm. And what about the work you ask her to do, since she's speaking Hindi, right?
Yes. I didn't understand the question.
What the work you ask?
How did she prepare?
I guess it's very difficult to speak Hindi.
Very, very, very difficult. You must remember that Gulshifteh is a musician.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
She's got sonority.
She has a very good ear, mm-hmm. indeed. And she started working on the Hindi mm-hmm. 6 months before the film. You know, so she actually had a teacher, and she was working with the teacher sometimes almost every day. You know, and sometimes if she was busy, then you know, 2 days, 3 days. Mm-hmm. But for 6 months, she was working with a very good Hindi teacher. Once she felt that she understood the grammatical, semantic ideas of the language, she still felt that she didn't really know how to articulate it, you know, to phrase it, because she couldn't find the music of it.
Mm-hmm.
So she said, I'm coming to India. And she came to India. She spent about 2 weeks in India, and she traveled, and she listened, and she spoke with numerous people, and slowly, slowly, she heard the music of the language, which is what she then picked up and then made it her own. You know, so when she speaks now, I hope you will hear the music of not only the terrain where we shot the film,
mm-hmm.
but the music of her spirit.
We did, actually. And I was wondering if you could tell us about the situation of women in India, because through the film we understand, I'm thinking of the, you know, when the three guys on the motorbike and just telling very rude things.
Yes.
And of course, as you said before, we can read from time to time articles or awful things,
yes.
rapes and everything.
Yes.
Is it getting worse for women in India?
Yes and no. You know, women in India are very strong. They are really, really powerful women, and they are women who know how to stand in their beliefs.
And resist,
you know. So there are now more and more groups of women who are coming together
mm-hmm.
and forming resistance groups, almost, you know, little groups, little bands. Even in tiny villages, women are banding together. But of course, that is not enough, because there's a patriarchy that runs through everything. You know, it is like poison, which is just there in the very sand. So the only possibility really is that to find a way to take that poison out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think women are finding different ways of resistance, not simply resisting with violence, you know,
mm-hmm.
but also resisting by showing that men can be vulnerable, fragile, as women. And there's nothing that dishonors them by becoming vulnerable and fragile. That in fact, there could be better communication between people through that vulnerability. All right? Some women are trying that. All right? And in many a times, there's a possibility that it will work. You know? But the problem is, and this problem I'm afraid is not only in India, that the kind of patriarchy that we are talking about is a patriarchy that exists not only in families or communities.
Society
in general. It is reflected even in the government, you know. And these governments now, all over the world, you see kinds of patriarchy, you know, that are almost like treating another nation like a woman, you know, whom they will ransack and harass and rape, you know, and destroy. You know? And this is the truth of our time, to look at the weaker other and to define it as weak, rather than looking at the other and saying that is not weakness, that is an openness, you know, that is a celebration of life, you know, that is another way of being, maybe I could learn from that, you know. So that empathy, that sense of opening yourself and allowing, you know, the beauty of the world to speak to you,
mm-hmm.
more and more I think we are closing ourselves. So if we want to change, we need a change not on small basis. We have to start somewhere, of course, mm-hmm. you know. But we must also have the ambition to try and change on a larger level. And this cannot not be done by small groups of women. For this, we need all the women of the world, and men, and children, to come together. The resistance has to be with everyone, you know?
A common effort.
What about, rapidly, we have to leave you, Anoop, I'm sorry.
Please.
What do you think about the progress about sati practice? Gandhi wanted to abolish the sati practice.
Yes.
And of course the arranged marriages. What is your feeling about that? Do you think it's going to get better and better?
Yes, of course. You know, sati is almost impossible now. Oh. It is a rare case of some idiots, you know, and nobody supports.
In rural areas or?
In rural areas, you know. And it is, we haven't heard of such a case for decades now, you know. So sati is completely, I think, it will disappear. Oh. Even as a thought, it will disappear. Mm. Arranged marriages, unfortunately, are very powerful. These are alliances, but these are also links between communities. Mm. There is something good and something bad about these arranged marriages. You have to keep in mind that many of these young women are brought up in a very limited way, mm-hmm. you know. And because they are brought up in a very limited way, many a times, which is a fault of the parents, many a times the parents then want to protect that limitation by putting her even in another limited family circumstance. All right? They have already harmed their daughter, and they think now they are protecting her by putting her into all that limitation. Slowly but slowly, education, awareness, social services, other women, are now entering deeper and deeper into these communities mm-hmm. and trying to show other possibilities.
Educating. And
cinema is one of the most potent tools, mm. you know, because it shows you immediately, mm. you know, the possibilities of what it means to be a woman who's independent, who thinks her own thoughts. Cinema does that.
Mm. Yes. Thank you, Anoop.
Thank you so very much. It's been a tremendous pleasure.
And I ask you quickly to sign something for my daughter. She's seen the movie on the piano.